Welcome to worship at Cornerstone Baptist Church this Sunday morning. My name is Duncan. I am on one of the leadership teams of one of our gatherings here at Cornerstone. I'll be leading you through what is our last online service in this format. And what a titanic effort it has been. What a fabulous achievement made possible by so many that we've been able to keep worshipping online throughout these last 18 months. I would like to say a huge thank you to a number of people who have made it possible. Firstly, our editor at large, Mr. Tim Hobbs. A big round of applause to you, sir, who takes all our efforts, edits them, and even makes us look handsome. Tim, could you do something about this? Thank you to Adrian Howe, who is always there. Technical grandmaster, his title to so many of us. And in the back office has been Nathan Shipley, making sure things run smoothly, making sure we know who's doing what each week. CD production and distribution has been done by Kerry Culverwell, and DVD production and distribution by Jill and Owen Carey-Jones. To you, we give you thanks to making sure that everyone, those who don't have online technology, have been able to listen to our worship and watch our worship and be part of it. Thank you so much. There have also been a team of people who have been doing the live streaming, and I want to say a huge thank you to Hao Hing Chow, to Kerry, to Tim, to Adrian, and to Nathan Richards, who've all operated the system. And of course, although for the last few months we haven't had Zoom into church, who can forget the fun of Hannah and Gideon and their competitions that would introduce us to worship on a Sunday morning and get us livened up, get us woken up and ready for worshipping God together. Thank you so much to all these people and everyone who has contributed to prayers, to readings, to the songs. It's been a monumental effort. And we are not saying that online isn't important, but we are recognising that this is a new season when we need to redirect some of that effort and that energy into in-person ministry. There will continue to be some online presence that we'll be working through in the future. However, enough of that. Let us prepare our hearts this morning to worship the Lord. Our scripture of the year last year, which I believe is rolled over, was from Isaiah 43:19, where Isaiah simply says, "Look to God. See, I am doing a new thing. See, I am doing a new thing." And as we approach God in worship this morning, I wonder what new thing God is doing in our lives together and in each of our individual lives. I want to read the first few verses of that chapter, Isaiah 43, to give you courage of God's presence with you as you come this morning to him in worship. "But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you walk through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. Let's be led in worship by Ed and Sophie as we start with the song Oceans.
Great unknown, where feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand, and I will call upon your name, and keep my eyes above the waves, when oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed, and you won't start now. And I will call upon your my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. And take me deeper than my feet could ever want, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. To see the captive hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor and peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. Your church, we pray, revive this earth. Build your kingdom here, let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and lands. Set your church on fire, win this nation back. Change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here, we pray. Unleash your kingdom's power, reach in the near and far. No force of hell can stop your beauty changing heart. You made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom seeding us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church. We are the hope on earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and lands. Set your church on fire, win this nation back. Change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here, we pray.
Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now, we pray. Heavenly Father, we want that your Holy Spirit would invade our hearts indeed, and cause us to be people who have hope, who carry hope, and who share hope to our world. Amen. Whenever you thank people, you take the risk of forgetting, and I'm sure I have forgotten others, but one big person that I did forget was Chris Dyson. Chris, I want to say thank you so much. Whenever we have been doing something online, you've been the one who has been telling us what we need to do, when we need to do it, and when we've forgotten to do it. Chris, thank you for organising us, and I do apologise that I forgot to thank you right at the beginning. We're going to hand over now to Hannah, who is going to lead us in our all-age talk.
Hi everyone, my name is Hannah, and I'm the children's pastor here at Cornerstone. Our passage today comes from the book of Psalms, which is in the Old Testament, and it talks about lots of scary things that we might face, like a big, scary, angry person, or a flood, or a big storm. Have you ever been in a situation that was really, really scary? I remember once being almost held captive by a really big, scary elephant who didn't want us to get past him. That was really scary. Being scared reminds me of a story in the New Testament about Jesus and his disciples. Here they are in their boat. I've got Simon here with his beard. I've got Andrew, and I've got a very smiley Jesus. And I don't think the boat looked like this in first century Jerusalem, but it's the best I could find in the time. Anyway, here they are, and they decided to go across the lake to the other side. And while they were doing that, Jesus decided to have a nap because he'd had a really long day helping lots of people. So he got in the boat, he got in the back and had a nap. And the rest of his disciples rowed along. And as they got about halfway, something happened. A big storm. There was a crash. It was really scary. The wind was going everywhere. It started raining out of nowhere. Whoa, it was really scary. The disciples didn't know what to do. The boat was going up, 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 and then crashing down, down, down. The waves were going everywhere. And do you know where Jesus was all the way through that? Jesus was fast asleep in the back of the boat. And the disciples, they were going, "What should we do? What should we do?" So they went to Jesus and they said, "Wake up, wake up. We need you to help." And Jesus, he woke up. He saw the scared looks on their faces and he stood up on the boat and he only had to say three words to calm the storm. He said, "Quiet. Be still." And do you know what? The winds and the waves, they recognised his voice. It was the same voice that had made them in the very beginning. Immediately, the wind stopped. The water calmed down and the little boat bobbed up and down as if nothing had ever happened. The disciples were astonished. And Jesus looked at him and asked them, "Why were you scared? Did you forget who I am?" The disciples, they looked at each other and they said, "Wow, who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Jesus' friends had been so afraid. They'd become distracted by the big waves. They'd forgotten that Jesus was with them. And they had nothing to be afraid of, no matter how big the storm was or how small their little boat was. You see, following Jesus doesn't mean that we won't ever face a scary storm or situation. But following Jesus does mean that we have the person who created us and all that we see is on our side. Now that's impressive. I'd like to finish by reading you a passage from the Bible. It says this: "I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." How cool is that? We have a really powerful God who made the heavens and the earth. And he is our protector. I don't know about you, but that just makes me feel really, really safe. Shall we pray together? Thank you, Father, that you made each of us and that you love us dearly. Thank you that when we're scared, we can come to you for help. And we're sorry for when our fears have got the best of us. Help us to trust you in all situations and to seek your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.
holds us in his hands. He's higher than a skyscraper, and he's deeper than a submarine. He's wider than the universe, and beyond our wildest dreams. And he knows me, and he's loved me since before the world began. How wonderful to be a part of God's amazing plan. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hands. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hands. He's higher than a skyscraper, and he's deeper than a submarine. He's wider than the universe, and beyond our wildest dreams. And he's known me, and he's loved me since before the world began. How wonderful to be a part of God's amazing plan. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hands. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hands. And he holds us in his hands. And he holds us in his hands. And he holds us in his hands.
Lord God, thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are our Father and that you love us and care for us. Thank you that we can come to you no matter how we're feeling or what's going on or what situation we're in. We can always turn to you and ask you for help. Lord, I pray for Afghanistan. I pray for your protection, for help, for peace. Lord, I pray for those who know you who are there and want to proclaim your name. I pray for increased faith, for boldness and for safety. Would you move powerfully through them to see your kingdom come in that land? Lord, thank you for the rest and relaxation of summer holidays. I pray for students who have gone back to school this week, and for uni students who will be returning or just beginning in the next couple of weeks. Watch over all who learn, replacing fear with joy, anxiety with peace, and tiredness with energy. I pray for the teachers that you would give them wisdom, patience and joy as they serve their students. Lord, it is hard not to worry about the rising number of COVID cases and deaths, as schools go back and winter is ahead. I pray for the numbers of cases to reduce, for the vaccine to continue to be effective, for wisdom for our government leaders, for patience, understanding and kindness towards one another, and for your peace. Lord, thank you so much for the provision of these online services, and for all who have been involved in putting them together and making them available for us over these last 18 months. Thank you that we've been able to join in and worship you every week in the midst of the pandemic and lockdown. Thank you that now we are able to gather together in person, and what a joy it is to be together. Lord, thank you for Peter and the ministry team who have been leading us in starting to meet in person. Lord, I pray for continued wisdom and guidance for them as they take us into this new season. Lord, I pray that we would be excited to meet together. In Jesus' name, Amen.
If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side, when men attacked us, when the anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird, out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
Well, hello. It's good to be back, and it's good to be able to speak. I'm really excited about the new season of our life together, and I'm really looking forward to sharing a few things now, just a few words from Psalm 124, and sharing much more and hearing much more and engaging with much more in the weeks and the months that lie ahead. So Psalm 124, and just a few things from me this morning. In fact, three words from this psalm that I think that God has for us. And the first word is lament. And I know that over the past 3 months, you have thought about this and engaged with this topic a fair bit as a church together. And lament is appropriate for this season. I want to affirm the direction that you've been on and just add to it from this psalm, because we see that the psalmist has been in a difficult position. There are two images really that come from this psalm, Psalm 124. There is the image of being trapped like a bird in the fowler's snare, so caught in a trap, unable to escape, in pain and in fear of its life. And also this image of the waves sweeping over someone and even sweeping them away. And it builds through this picture: the flood, the torrent, the raging waters. And we can see that it starts bad and it gets worse. There's a flood, and then there's a torrent pouring in, and then the waters are absolutely raging. They're boiling. There is foam. There is waves that is crashing over someone and threatening to sweep them away. And so there is occasion for lament, this sense of being trapped that the psalm speaks about, and this sense of being engulfed by the floodwaters and swept away. And they're both appropriate images when we look back at the last 18 months, and when we think about COVID, and we think about lockdown, and think about how it's been for you personally. There are times when many of us have felt we're trapped. It's like we're caught in a snare. Maybe you've been self-isolating. Maybe you've been living alone. Maybe you've been in really difficult circumstances, and it seems like you're caught in a trap and there's no way out. There are other times when perhaps you've felt overwhelmed. The floodwaters have just swept over you. On Facebook, you occasionally get reminders of things that have happened years ago. And I got a reminder fairly recently of something that happened when I led a mission team to Brazil when I was at Spurgeon's College. And we had an afternoon off, and we went to Ipanema Beach, the famous beach, and we wanted to go swimming. And I went out swimming, but the waves were so strong. I'd never experienced anything like it before. And I was knocked off my feet. I was turned head over heels. It was a sandy beach, and I was out a little way, but probably on reflection, there was a possibility of danger. And I emerged from this to see a couple of lifeguards waving at me and pointing at this sign that basically said, "No swimming, the water is too dangerous." It was not in English, you know, what is a Brit abroad meant to do, but really I should have picked up the sort of red colour and things like that, saying that I shouldn't go in. It's the only time that I can remember when I've been sort of turned upside down by the waves. And I guess there was a small danger that I might have been swept away. Maybe you have felt like that through this time of COVID, through this time of lockdown. And lament is so appropriate. We're given the language, particularly in the Psalms, to express how we feel before God, to express our pain and our suffering, to vent it healingly to God and know that He's with us. And so if you need to express that, if you've needed to express that, if you need to continue to express that, then we want to give space for that as a church, just as God in the Psalms and elsewhere gives us space, gives us encouragement, gives us the words so that we can express our pain and our suffering and our struggles before God. And God is with us in the storm. That's the point. And it may not feel like it. It may get worse before it gets better. We may pray and pray. We may hammer on the gates of heaven, and it doesn't seem that anything is happening. But the promise of this psalm is for the presence of God through the storm and ultimately for His deliverance. Keep holding on to the rock that is Jesus as the waves come. Keep trusting, keep praying, keep hoping, and know that even if you don't feel His presence, God, by the Holy Spirit, is there with you. Just sense that that could be a special word for someone who's engaging with this today. You're going through the storm right now. You feel trapped right now, whether it's a workplace issue or a family issue or a personal issue or a health issue or whatever it may be. And God says, I'm with you in the storm. You may not feel like it, but I am with you, and I will strengthen you. And in my time, I will bring you through. If that's a word for you specially, do receive it today by the Holy Spirit. Allow God to minister to you as He applies it to your heart. So the first word for today is this word of lament. The second word is the word rejoice. And it seems like a completely different words. But actually, what we see here is that the psalmist is rejoicing because of deliverance and rejoicing even as he remembers the storm. And as we take in the broader view of Scripture, we can see worship taking place even in the midst of storm, even in the midst of trouble. Job is an example of this. He had gone through difficulty after difficulty after difficulty, mind-numbing stuff, so, so hard, and yet he leans on his staff and he worships. We can worship in the storm. We can rejoice in God's deliverance. And we can do that not by ignoring or in any way diminishing the suffering that we face, but by focusing on Christ and the gospel. That is where this psalm takes us as we transpose it into a New Testament key. Jesus, who captured the psalms, is the one who ultimately brings deliverance. And he delivers us day to day from those workplace issues, from those family struggles. He's with us in them, and he brings us through them. But ultimately we rejoice in our salvation that is strong and sure in Jesus, whatever the circumstances that we face. Jesus came, Jesus died, and Jesus rose again for us. He bids us put our faith in him once again, turning from our wrongdoing and receiving his grace. And as we do that, the Holy Spirit enters in and changes us from the inside out, gives us eternal life now, life in the age to come. There is that security, there is that certainty, there is that stability, and then he launches us out on this wonderful adventure of discipleship. As we think on these things, as we reflect on these things, as we hear the psalmist exalting, rejoicing in God's deliverance, may God lift our hearts. May God put a new song in our mouths for this new season of our life together. I'm recording this on Wednesday, and on Tuesday evening, I was at a meeting, the launch of the Beacon, the new work that we hope to be pioneering in partnership with Vineyard Church in Headingley, which is where I'm recording this message. And we just had a lovely, lovely time. Someone from Vineyard led worship. This was basically the core team plus a few others. And just that sense for me as I took part in this worship of the goodness of God in Jesus, of the grace of God in Jesus, that even when we don't feel like it, even when there isn't that felt sense of his presence, God is with us. And the gospel is so glorious and so wonderful. We shouldn't depend on feelings, but when those feelings come, then we can rejoice in that, even as we focus not on the feelings, but on Jesus himself. His promises to us are strong and sure. His gospel is glorious. Jesus is wonderful, and so we can rejoice. Even in a difficult season, even with challenges as well as opportunities ahead, we can enjoy, we can rejoice in the glory and the wonder of the gospel. And the third and the final word is community. There is a wonderful, wonderful sense of community here in this psalm. The psalm is one of the so-called Psalms of Ascent, Psalms 120 through to 134. And scholars have argued persuasively that these are songs for pilgrims. These are songs for God's people who are on a journey, originally on a journey up to Jerusalem to worship there. It would have been long, it would have been costly, it would have been dangerous, but it would have been wonderful too. And God's people encouraged one another along the way as they really rejoiced together. Eugene Peterson talks about these psalms as being like a dog-eared songbook for the people of God. They are prayers and psalms for pilgrims who are on a journey. And we see that there is something irreducibly communal about this wonderful psalm. It's not something actually that you can really sing or say on your own. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, and so on. It's not talking about me and my, it's talking about our. And there is call and response in those early verses. We can imagine the leader saying out, if the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, and then God's people declare back, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us. And there's that call and response. The technical word is antiphonal. Someone is calling out something and someone is responding. There is to and fro. There is back and forth. There are different parts to this song, and they're singing it in community. They're singing it on a journey together. I want to encourage us in this next season about our communal life together. And especially, I want to encourage us about our physical community life. This is the last online service of this type that we are going to have. It's not that we won't have a digital ministry in the future as a church, but we want to pause and we want to reflect on what a sustainable, creative digital ministry will look like. And we'll be drawing together a group of people to dream dreams and to think about how God is leading us forward. And what I want to encourage is that return to in-person gathering. They might look a little bit different. We want to be creative. We want to think about how we're going to do things. But from the 19th of September, going to emphasize in-person gatherings. The aim is to have one at Headingley in the morning each week. Crag are moving ahead with various in-person gatherings. Connect are already meeting. And this is in line with what churches are doing up and down the breadth of the land. And I've been privileged to talk to various church leaders on my sabbatical. And yeah, there are lots of challenges, but there are lots of opportunities. And what we want to do is press into physical meetings again, doing all that we can to make them COVID secure. And just encourage people to come, encourage people to meet, encourage people to gather. And so I want to encourage you, if you can, to come back to in-person stuff, whether it's at Headingley, whether it's at Connect in Bramley, or whether it's at Crag in Horsforth. And I don't minimize how hard that is going to be for some. Getting over the threshold is not going to be easy. And I experienced that myself last Saturday. I've been away for a bit, and Cheryl and I have been to in-person services in different places. But the in-person church that we were going to go to here in Leeds, after a month of meeting, they basically said, we're not going to do in-person anymore over the summer. In fact, they said they weren't going to do online either. And so we were a little bit stuck. And we've actually been zooming into a church in Oxford, which is my daughter's church, where we did go to one in-person service. And we've been zooming into their church, their services. It's been so refreshing for us. But actually, church for us, like it has for many of you, has been online. And last Saturday was privileged to come to Jenny and Mark's wedding, which was in the building here in Headingley, and just be part of the congregation and celebrate with them and meet a whole range of people. And that was really exciting, really wonderful, really positive. I was so encouraged by that. But particularly at the beginning of the service, I found it difficult. It's quite hard to articulate this. It's quite hard for me even now to explain my feelings, but I felt a bit nervous. I'd not been, only once been in such a large gathering over lockdown. I guess I was there not so much as the pastor, but as a friend of the couple. And so normally when I'm at meetings, I have a purpose. I'm leading something. I'm speaking to people. But I was just there as a person, and I wasn't quite sure where to sit. There are all these people, some of them I know, some of them I don't. And there was just that nervousness that I can't quite explain. I certainly can't explain why, of being part of a larger social gathering as well. I don't know if you identify with that in any way. I don't know if you felt that. I don't know if you feel, well, I can't come back to a physical service because of that. I want to encourage you that there may just be, I don't want to put a blanket thing out, because there may just be really, really strong medical reasons why not. If so, speak to us, make contact through the information email and or email someone in the ministry team, and we can chat to you. But with that small rider, I just want to encourage us right across Cornerstone, Crag, Connect, Headingley. Now is the time, we think, to come together in physical community again and to have that sort of spirit that is there in Psalm 124. We're on a journey together. We are meeting at a time that may not be convenient, but we're actually going to prioritize this because it's our priority to come and meet. We want that call and response. We want to sing together again. We want to engage with people. We want to listen. We want to speak. We want to be involved in ministry. We want to do this. Yeah, continuing to do maybe one or two things online, midweek meetings and so on. But actually, we want to do this in person and just show our commitment to God and to God's work in this place, and to do that physically, to do that in person. And so three words for today. The first word, lament. Yeah, we want to continue to give space to do that. And we want to recognize how important that is. And I recognize how important that is for myself. But we want to rejoice. Recognize that so much too. I want to rejoice in the gospel that is yes and amen in Jesus, and that is glorious. Great is the gospel of our glorious God. I really believe that, and I hope that in saying this, I'm articulating something for you that you want to say as well, that it's there in your heart, that it's springing up. And community. There is something irreducibly communal about the Christian faith. There is something wonderfully communal about discipleship. It's a personal relationship with Jesus, but we're in this together. And so right across Cornerstone, I want to encourage us now to come back physically, and let's move forward with this pilgrimage into a new and exciting future. And may God bless us, and may God go with us, and may God go before us as we go. The Lord.
thank you for saving me. What can I say? How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away. As wounds which mother chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. In anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer. I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
Thank you, Ed and Sophie, for leading us in sung worship. Thank you, Jesus, for saving us. Thank you, Jesus, for being with us in these online services, present by your Spirit, helping us to meet together whilst apart. Thank you, Jesus, for what is ahead, for the plans you have for us, for the new thing you want to do amongst us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have plans to prosper us and not to harm us. Thank you too to Ruth for leading us in those prayers, and for Hannah for our old age talk. And Peter, we appreciate what you've brought this morning to us. We know it still is a season of lament, but as God's believers, we're also called to find things to rejoice in. And thank you for that invitation once again to be together in person. I remember my own Brazil experience of feeling out of my depth on a boat going down the Black River. And when the Christians who were so free and liberated in their worship said, let's turn in circles and stand face to face with one another and sing to each other God's praises to one another. I remember feeling desperately out of my depth. Maybe some of you are feeling a little bit like that about the idea of coming back into a meeting place. Rest assured, you will not be asked to worship in that way. We will be working hard to make things in our worship times safe and sensitive and accessible to everyone. Let me leave you this morning with a prayer of Paul, which was prayed to the Ephesian church. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and the incomparably great power for us who believe. Amen. And God bless you all.